Introducing the Bernie Sanders Jim DeMint filibuster. Good morning, everyone. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. How are you doing today? We've all been hearing about how the president and his political base are at odds over the tax cut compromise, and it's true. But less reported is that the filibuster threat is actually running both ways. First, here is Senator Bernie Sanders, independent socialist from Vermont, and remember, he actually calls himself a socialist, from Vermont, with Ed Schultz on MSNBC.
So I think for a Democratic president, Democratic House, Democratic Senate to be following the Bush economic philosophy of tax breaks to millionaires and billionaires is absolutely wrong public policy, absolutely wrong politically. And I got to tell you, I will do whatever I can to see that 60 votes are not acquired to pass this piece of legislation.
Will you filibuster this?
I will do whatever I can on this. This is a very, very bad agreement.
Okay, so that might not surprise you coming from Bernie Sanders, but did you know about this? Here is Tea Party favorite Republican Senator Jim DeMint of South Carolina on the Hugh Hewitt radio show yesterday.
If the deal reached between the president and the Republican leadership yesterday makes it to the floor of the Senate in substantially the same form, will you vote for cloture to allow a final vote on it, and would you vote for it on that final vote if it cleared cloture?
No.
On both counts?
On both counts. No, I'm glad the president recognizes that tax increases hurt the economy. I guess that's progress. But frankly, Hugh, most of us who ran this last election said we were not going to vote for anything that increased the deficit. This does. It raises taxes. It raises the death tax. I don't think we needed to negotiate that aspect of this thing away. I don't think we need to extend unemployment any further without paying for it and without making some modifications such as turning it into a loan at some point, and it encourages people to go back to work.
Senator Jim DeMint. So, listeners, are you ready for history's first socialist and Tea Party joint filibuster? The Bernie Sanders-Jim DeMint filibuster. We'll see what happens. And let's get a take on this from Michael Grimm, the incoming Republican congressman newly elected from Staten Island and nearby Brooklyn with Sarah Palin and Tea Party support. Hey, Congressman-elect, thanks for coming back on WNYC.
Thank you for having me. Good morning.
And I know we only have you for a few minutes, so let me tee up some Tea Party callers here, too. Tea Party listeners, you get the phones for the next few minutes after Congressman Grimm. If you consider yourself a Tea Party movement supporter, call us up and tell us if you support the compromise or if you would support the Bernie Sanders Jim DeMint filibuster because the Republicans gave away too much. 212-433-WNYC. Tea Party movement, folks, only for the moment. 212-433-9692. And Michael Grimm, you're not in office yet, so you may never have to vote on this. But have you seen the details of the compromise, and do you think you would vote for it if you could?
Well, I think it's probably one of the toughest votes those that have recently taken office have to take, because people are going to have to break their promises. The way I look at it is you have to weigh it. Nobody's winning in this situation. I don't want to raise the deficit, add to the debt. I don't want to take money out of Social Security. I don't think that we should be extending Social Security benefits without paying for it. But at the same time, I think if we increase taxes, if we allow the Bush tax cuts not to be extended, for them to expire, then we are going to hurt the economy more. So it's a lesser of the two evils. So I want the economy to move forward so that more people get back to work, more people pay into Social Security. And I think also the mental aspects of getting people back to work. We can't allow people to stay off the rolls anymore. It's damaging them. They're losing faith in the system. We have to do everything we can. And then letting the Bush tax cuts expire, increasing taxes, is certainly going to hurt the economy.
So you're a reluctant yes if you had a vote on that. Did I hear you correctly?
That's exactly right. I would be a very reluctant yes. Because of all the reasons I just mentioned, but at the end of the day, by raising taxes now, I think that would be such a mistake and be so detrimental to the overall economy that it would just unfortunately have to deal with what we have.
I guess DeMint was saying in that clip that the Republicans are in a strong enough position now that he didn't even think they needed to bargain away this much.
Yeah, I don't see that. I mean, we don't control the Senate, and we don't control the president. So, I'm not so sure that we're, you know, we just took back the House. But I don't see that it's a viable option unless I'm missing something. But that seems to be what I'm hearing from the leadership here as well.
Here is President Obama from his news conference yesterday really talking to liberal Democrats about how the deal is better than they thought, but ticking off things in here that Republicans don't like.
I mean, the truth of the matter is, from the Republican perspective, the earned income tax credit, the college tuition tax credit, the child tax credit, all those things that are so important for so many families across the country, those are things they really opposed.
Is the president right in his list? Are those measures that you wouldn't want to support unless you felt you had to as part of the compromise?
I disagree with the president. Tax credits, tax cuts, stimulating the economy. We're helping, the middle class, helping those with children. But nobody's even, from where I've been sitting, has argued that point at all. Our problem, I think he's trying to do a little bait and switch or divert attention. What we're talking about is very clear. We do not support taking money out of Social Security when Social Security is in the problem that it's in. We do not support extending unemployment benefits without paying for it. And we don't support increasing the debt and the deficit. That's been the focus. And, the tax credit I think, again, he's trying to get people to look at a part of something that really isn't the issue. And where the hard fight has been, the death tax has definitely been on the table. That's a fight. The way I look at the death tax situation is we've come a lot further. We've done better. $10 million for a married couple is a step in the right direction. Ultimately, I'd like to repeal the death tax completely, but at least it's a step in the right direction.
I guess it's a lesson that it's easier to campaign than it is to govern, huh?
Oh well, there's no question that. But I'll tell you this: just left the entire all those that were that were here and still available, the freshman class, and they're struggling with these things because there's no question that they want to keep their promises, and myself included. the reality is sometimes you have to play the cards that you're dealt, and you have to be able to. I don't think it's prudent to say, "Well, I promised I wouldn't do this, or I wouldn't vote this way, so I'm going to stand on that promise at the cost of massively hurting the economy and hurting the people I represent much more than by compromising to some extent." So I think it's a matter of doing what's right, and ultimately, you are keeping your promise because we are working towards the goals of reducing the deficit and fighting the good fight. But if anyone thought that it was going to happen overnight and it was going to happen from the very first vote on, I think that was unrealistic expectations. This is going to be a process. It's going to be a hard-fought process. And you can't rely on every single vote to be the one that you want with no compromise, because I think that's what we've learned from the Democrats being in power, that they were not willing to compromise at all. I've said from the beginning, and I've said this on the campaign trail, we need to work together, Republicans and Democrats, to make this country move forward, and that does involve some compromises, but I believe we can still be true to our core values. That's my goal, and I think that if the Republicans fall into this trap of non-compromise and complete partisanship and staying polarized, then we are really doing a complete injustice to this country. And I think at the end of the day, the people will realize that they elected us because they believe that we have the ability and the prudence to govern. And in governing, you have to work with the two-party system and weigh each and every aspect of the bill and look at the net benefits as well as the net negatives. And I think that's what's happening here.
Congressman-elect Michael Grimm, Republican from Staten Island and part of Brooklyn. We appreciate you taking a few minutes and taking a stand on this, even though you won't have to actually cast a vote. So thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you very much. Have a good day.
Brian Lehrer, WNYC. And now we'll go to some of you who are Tea Party movement supporters on the phones. Call us up and tell us if you support the compromise. You heard what Congressman-elect Michael Grimm just said, candidate who ran with Tea Party support, with Sarah Palin support, or do you support the Bernie Sanders, Jim DeMint, okay, the Jim DeMint part of the filibuster that may come about in the Senate because the Republicans gave away too much in his opinion and in some other people's opinions associated with the Tea Party movement? Michelle Bachmann is saying she is likely to vote no because it gave away too much on unemployment insurance. 212-433-WNYC. Only for Tea Party movement folks for the next few minutes. 212-433-9692. Call right up and you'll get right on. 212-433-9692. Mike in Newark, you're on WNYC. Hi, Mike.
Hi. The money is gone. There cannot be any more deficit spending.
So this $900 billion that gets added to the deficit, even though half of that is in extension of the Bush tax cuts, you would oppose the whole thing because of that?
Well, it's interesting that people say that if we don't extend the Bush tax cuts, it's going to hurt the economy. I don't want to see the deficit go up one penny more.
Mike, thank you very much. And Robert in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Robert.
Hi, good morning. I think the problem is that the government, the state, the federal, the municipal governments are just too gigantic. They're too large. And rather than cut people's unemployment insurance or raise taxes, somebody's got to look at these governments and start managing them. Let the people retire out of it, close down some buildings. Look at the Postal Service bringing junk mail day after day after day. We've got to do something. We've got to straighten out these governments before they bankrupt us.
So what what about this compromise? That's your big picture.
The compromise, is okay, but it doesn't get to the core of the problem. The governments are too big in our country, and they need to be made smaller. They just take up too much, and they're in the way.
So you'd rather put this whole thing down than agree to this compromise to extend the Bush tax cuts, right?
Well, I don't know what you mean, put this whole thing down.
This compromise, I'm sorry.
I don't think the compromise is gonna in the long term help the country and get to the root of the problem. I support the compromise, but it's not getting at the mm-hmm. real issue, the gigantic mm-hmm. size of all the governments that we serve. You know, we are serving the government. The government is not serving us. It's absurd. If you go to Philadelphia, you look at the clock tower on Independence Hall, the clock doesn't work. I mean, come on, the Department of Interior is a $1 billion agency. They can't get the clock to work on the Independence Hall. It's ridiculous. The government's just way too big.
Robert, thank you very much. Tea Party listeners, what do you think about this compromise? Robert makes it clear he'll support the compromise, but government is way too big, and you still have to take care of that, members of Congress. Is that where you are, or are you in the Jim DeMint camp of they just gave away too much unemployment insurance, which should have been turned into a loan, and the other things that we heard him say, and he's considering filibustering $900 billion more of deficit? 212-433-WNYC, and as your calls are coming in, you know, the president didn't exactly say, hey, we got into a room yesterday and we made this great American compromise. We're also moderate and consensus-driven and patriotic. Not exactly.
I think it's tempting not to negotiate with hostage takers unless the hostage gets harmed. Then people will question the wisdom of that strategy. In this case, the hostage was the American people. And I was not willing to see them get harmed.
So Republicans are not my fellow patriotic Americans who I sat in a room and made a deal with. They were hostage takers who the president had to do the best that he could to work around. Lloyd in Queens, you're on WNYC. Hi, Lloyd.
How you doing?
Good. How you doing?
Okay, I'm okay. I'm calling about what's going on over there with the Obama administration.
What do you think?
I think it's a very bad deal, and I really think the Republicans were crazy to even go along with it. They had Obama by the neck. There was no way he was going to raise taxes in January and planned on getting reelected in 2012. They should have just let it ride. They should have called for extending the Bush tax cuts even further. Matter of fact, they shouldn't even have them. I mean, I thought the Tea Party thing was for just bring the deficit down. How are you going to tack on $1 trillion in 10 years? And we're supposed to bring the deficit down. What about our grandkids and all this other stuff? And the Republicans, they're using the Tea Party as their so-called format. And as soon as they get in, they're raising the deficit even more. I mean, it's just so obvious. The Mint is correct. They should, and as far as that unemployment insurance, forget about it. I know some people need it, but believe me, there are people out there milking the system, and a real American, if he was down on the luck, he'd get out there and sell apples, oranges, whatever it takes. I'm so tired of this free lend-out. I'm at work right now. I'm tired of the free lend-out. 99 weeks, and I'm sitting home. I'm out here in 20-degree weather. I'm working like every warm-blooded American should be doing. It's wrong, it's wrong, and it's wrong.
Lloyd, thank you for your call. We appreciate it. Make your voice heard here again. Guy in Passaic, you're on WNYC. Hello, Guy.
Hey, happy holidays. How are you?
I'm good. Same to you.
All right. Well, I'm against any of these frivolous spendings that don't net a return. And with the argument about government being too big, isn't this the best argument to go out and privatize and create jobs at the same time? I'm totally against the program. I think that we should be looking at reform across the entire tax code, and that includes businesses operating overseas. If you think you're stimulating the economy, you are. You're stimulating China's economy, not the U.S., and I think that's the misdirection that Obama and the Republicans are putting on the table.
So you don't like borrowing $450 billion more dollars from the Chinese to pay for an extension of the Bush tax cuts, or borrowing the other $450 billion in this deal to pay for child care tax credits, college tuition tax credits, extension of unemployment insurance, and the other things the president wanted?
Oh, I'd love to if I don't have to pay it back.
Guy, thank you very much. Marty in West Orange, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Yeah, hi. I have a problem with this particular fellow because this sounds like politics as usual, the same old thing.
You mean Congressman Grimm, who was just on?
Well, it's another politician. Let me put it this way. You know, as a Tea Partier, we didn't want anything to increase the deficit under any circumstances. If you're going to do something, it's got to be paid for. Now, this guy comes on, and all of a sudden he says, oh, we have to compromise. We don't want to do anything with letting these cuts in the taxes expire. We have to pay for that, but we're not paying for it. So it just winds up increasing the deficit again. So it seems like these guys, once they get into office, all of a sudden they have an excuse for changing their story. You know, we have to compromise, we have to do this. I thought we stood for not increasing the deficit under any circumstance.
Well,
and this goes against it completely.
It sounded like he is learning, as Obama is learning, that governing is harder than campaigning. And he said, look, we don't have the Senate, we don't have the White House, so this was the best we were going to be able to get at this time. You don't agree?
Well, you know what? I guess it's just like, if you remember the old Bush, you know, with that line, no new taxes, right? You know, it's not acceptable that you get into office and then all of a sudden you wise up, you smarten up. If you're going to run on something, you have to stand by what you run on. You know, and also, you know, being a Republican also, we've always talked about character and standing up for what you believe in, and under no circumstances caving in. Now, all of a sudden, that's gone out the window once this guy gets into office. I don't understand it. It seems to me that it's politics as usual. Say what you got to say to get into office. And then when people start, you know, when the people who have money start coming by to see you in the lobbyists, all of a sudden you find a way to change your tune and make an excuse for it by saying, oh, it's better to compromise. It's better we get something. No, stand for what you believe in. Don't change your tune, because if you do, you're not going to get reelected.
Marty, thank you so much for your call. We really appreciate it. Call us again. And thanks to all of you who called in this segment. So we did a call-in for Liberal Democrats with your reactions earlier in the week. We just did a call-in for Tea Party Republicans, and thank you again for chiming in on your reaction to this. And it's pretty interesting to me because for all the focus on how the Liberal Democratic base doesn't like this compromise, as you're hearing, it's easy enough to find people from the Tea Party movement who already feel betrayed by the incoming Republican Congress and the fact that the leaders were willing to make this deal. Later in the week, we will do a call in for those of you who consider yourself political independents, the swing voters, those of you who go back and forth sometimes between the Democratic and Republican parties, who swung toward Obama in 08, way away from the Democrats in 2010, and see what you think about this. So if you're a swing voter, get ready to call in. We'll do that in the next couple of days. Right now, we're going to take 1 minute out of the program to say goodbye to Elizabeth Edwards, of course, the estranged wife of former senator and presidential hopeful John Edwards. Elizabeth Edwards died yesterday of the cancer that she was battling for 6 years at the age of 61. She was a guest on this show on several occasions. And so to remember Elizabeth Edwards, we're just going to play a one-minute exchange that we had here on May 9th, 2007. At this point, John Edwards was running for president, and with her support, she was tagged. We were both in a conference with the Personal Democracy Forum, she via Skype, and she talked about how she became so interested in the internet. She was the one who was leading John Edwards into the internet era, and I asked her about that. I read that it was the death of your son, Wade, that actually got you so involved in the internet. Is that correct?
Well, it was actually the life of my son, Wade, who was enormously interested in the internet. And he's the one who first got us involved, got me involved in it. And so we actually did a lot of things together, bought sports cards on the internet back in the days when there would be internet sports card auctions.
Is YouTube good for democracy?
YouTube is fabulous for democracy because the more we see people in unscripted moments, the better it is for the American people. Not everybody will agree with that, the former senator from Virginia being one of them. It's really important that the American people get a chance to see candidates crossing the street or speaking to somebody in a restaurant or the unguarded moments where you actually learn a lot about the character of a person.
Elizabeth Edwards on this show, May 9th, 2007. She died yesterday at the age of 61. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, a Brooklyn public school father goes to court to block Kathy Black's appointment as New York City schools chancellor. We will talk to that public school dad.